Welcome to the Super Series Elite Showcase Podcast, brought to you by the guys from the Blue Line Hockey Club Podcast. This week, we're introducing the podcast to the listeners and talking about the New Jersey Invite. Let's get started.
Hey, hockey moms and dads, you're listening to the Super Series AAA Elite Hockey Showcase Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Line Hockey Club. The Blue Liners are here tonight. We have Robbie Pete Peters, Derek D. Train Hitu, Mark the Dr. Morley, and Uncle Lardy Sullivan. What's up, Pat?
What's up, guys? Welcome to the first Super Series Elite Showcase Podcast. We've got Steve Dubinsky with us tonight. He's one of the owners of the Showcase. He's going to talk to us a little bit how the Showcase came about. There's some big tournaments going on this weekend. So, Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, Steve, you know, this is big for us. We're really excited about the new podcast coming up this year. Can't wait to attend a few tournaments, talk a little bit about it throughout the year. But tell us a little bit about how Super Series Elite Showcases came about and when that all started. A lot of people know about it. Shed a little light on how this all got started.
So, actually, this is my seventh. This has been our seventh year officially that I've been involved with the company. The brand Super Series AAA actually started way back when there was a group of 1998 teams, one from Dallas, one from St. Louis, one from Philadelphia, and the other from New Jersey, that started a series of events where they just wanted to play against each other as far as getting great competition. So Keith Primo was one of the guys who was coaching the Comcast group. His son, Caden, was actually on that team, even though he was a year younger, who's now playing for the Laval Rocket in the American Hockey League, played at Northeastern for 2 years. And essentially, that brand or that model, kind of obviously it's morphed into what it is today. And that was probably back in 2010, I believe, maybe even earlier than that, that they did that. So in 2013, Keith and I had actually been doing a couple of showcases on our own. And my now partner, Jeremy Dallow, was running Super Series AAA. One day I reached out to Keith and I said, you know, Super Series AAA, that's really such a great name and brand for what we're doing, meaning Keith and I. And he goes, well, actually, Jeremy Dallow reached out to me and asked, is there anything we can do maybe together to grow our business? Got on the phone call that week. Within the next 2 months, we were all working together. And thus, you know, Super Series AAA as it exists now, that's when it started. Originally, like, for example, we now have our largest tournament, which is in Boston in September every year. Our first year back in 2013, we had 38 teams. And in 2020, we anticipate close to 300.
Wow.
So that's, yeah. So that's kind of been, you know, the business has changed immensely in the last, say, probably over the last 10 years. But every year, it seems that something else is happening. And we've been fortunate enough to stay ahead of the curve. We have events spanning from September in Boston and finishing off in New Jersey this coming weekend with our second largest event with 125 to 140 teams in New Jersey and Long Island. And then that rolls into our spring and summer showcase slash tournament model that we've increased every year as well. So it's been an interesting run. We seem to have originally gone from really catering to the top end group, which is kind of what Keith and those guys did in the beginning, to where now we now will have tournaments like Boston where we may have 40 to 52 teams at a birth year, ranging from the number one team in the country on My Hockey Rankings to the potentially the 40th ranked double A team who's just looking to play good games in the beginning of the season. So it's sure. It's really, really changed a lot in the last few years.
Do these teams reach out to you, or is it how do you get so many teams, I guess, is my question. Is it to the point where, you know, you guys have such, you're up there in the echelon of youth hockey that people just, you know, email you and say, we want to be at the Boston Breakout, or we want to be in New Jersey this weekend? How does that happen?
Well, basically at the beginning, you know, and I sometimes think to myself, you know, how much hard work Jeremy, myself, and Keith Primo, who's now no longer an owner, but his brother Wayne, who's another former first rounder who lives in Toronto, he's a partner as well. And really, when we look back at the beginning, we really just spent a ton of time calling people, emailing people. I think I had mentioned it maybe on the podcast that I did separately to this, you know, that one of the things that I really enjoyed about growing this business was the ability to communicate with former teammates or guys that I played against. So on a constant basis, a lot of times what's been happening over the last few years is that I'll reach out to a coach or a manager and it's like, oh, well, just 3 days ago, Jerome McGinley, who's a former teammate of mine with the Flames, reached out because he's coaching an 06 team from Boston. And it's just really, you know, the Boston breakout, Jeremy, my partner, I give him a ton of credit for growing that tournament. Basically, what happened was is he was getting a lot of the Eastern teams. I came in living in Chicago, started growing it with Detroit, Chicago, Colorado, Arizona. We started getting all these teams. And then all of a sudden now, what's happened is, especially on the East Coast, we have multiple organizations who are sending us sometimes 10 teams. There's a group, Mid-Fairfield Junior Rangers, who are out of Stamford, Connecticut, who send us their top-end teams, which are the Mid-Fairfield Junior Rangers. And then they have another kind of like a second-tier group of teams that are called the Connecticut Junior Rangers. But for example, their 07 group, which happens to be a very deep birth year in the area, they have two top 20 teams at the birth year. So that's what's caused the growth, is that a lot of these organizations are looking at it going, it's the second weekend in September. It's always the weekend after Labor Day. It's an amazing way for your team to get 5 games without having the pressure of tournaments, quarterfinals, semifinals. There's none of that. And basically, it's grown that way. Just the fact that people know that they're coming. We'll take a group of 40 to 60 teams at a birth year, and we'll split them up into segments of teams based on my hockey ranking, which is something that we can get into at some point if you guys want to, because that's a very, very good barometer and a really great way for us to rank the teams when they do come to an event and be like, okay, well, we're number 3 in the country. Okay, we're going to give them games against teams in the top 10, but we're also not afraid to give them against a team in the top 20 because there's such a small discrepancy. In, especially as the teams get older, like at the midget level, there's like literally like a goal or a goal and a half difference between like the 5th ranked team and the 20th ranked team in the country.
Yeah, Steve. So are there teams that come to you that you have to deny them based on not being, a AAA team, or they haven't won enough games, or is there something that goes into that with the rankings that you're only accepting the top teams?
Well, like I stated before, about 4 or 5 years ago, that was really our bread and butter, was going out and finding the top teams in the country. One of our partners came to us and said, listen, that's great, but you've got a whole other market of teams out there who are really looking for the same experience as the top team. And that's how our business has grown so much in the last few years, is that we've now, instead of me calling a team, or let's say a director of an organization and saying, here's the 2 tournaments we have for your top team, but we only have an event for your other team. Now the conversation is the exact opposite, and it's now getting to the point where I'm starting to recruit teams for next year. It's exactly that. It's me now saying, remember 3 years ago when I called you and said that I didn't have a tournament for your group because you're a weaker AAA or a tier 2 program? Now the response is, I literally only have 1 event in our whole portfolio of tournaments and showcases where you can't go. And that's probably our border battle in Toronto, where we normally draw the top GTHL teams. And, you know, we cannot have the top, say, 5 of the top 15 teams in Ontario and have them play against teams that are ranked in the 40s and 50s from the United States, because that's a total, you know, border battle where they're playing against the other country. But other than that, I mean, that's really been the growth rate for us, is really finding those teams that are looking for strong competition. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we've done, I think, better than most companies. And there is some very strong competitors, and they're personal friends of mine. And I'm not going to say a negative word about them, but we as a group, we've found a way to keep like, for example, the weekend coming up this weekend, we were able to split the teams up into groups, and we've got a top group of 09s that are playing in an elite competition. And then we have another group of 10 to 12 teams that fall between like the 21st ranking to the 40th. And those guys are going to get a great experience. So that's what I think has been the difference for us, is the fact that we can now go to teams and say, you're not traveling, you're not getting on an airplane, you're not getting in your car, you're not staying in a hotel, you're not spending a lot of money on food to come to an event where you're either at the wrong level, meaning you're playing against a team that's too good, or you're playing against a team that's not strong enough. And that has truly been a really, really change in our business.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, Steve. I mean, exactly what you just said, getting on an airplane and coming to one of your tournament, paying all this money to stay in hotels and going to a premier showcase, and then just going to a tournament and winning by, you know, 10, 12 goals every game. They're winning by one goal, two goals. So that's something big about the Super Series showcases. You got teams like New Jersey on the U16 here this weekend. You got the Rockets. You got the Rockets Premier. You got the Rockets AA Black. So there's so many teams that, you know, are coming, you know, just from one area like New Jersey. And you guys have figured out how to space them out and put them in different categories, which is huge. It speaks volumes for the tournament.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's been the biggest thing, is I think there's also a trend. You know, every day I wake up and somebody else is telling me about a group of teams that are sitting at the top of my hockey rankings who are now kind of doing their own showcases. You know, that's okay, you know, because we have found the niche that has actually increased our business, because if we were just catering to those top end teams, then the other teams would not be able to attend our event. And there's not a coach in the world who wants to leave the locker room, not maybe one game, two games may be okay, but three or four games in a weekend where you're getting shellacked by another team.
Yeah.
And you've got to walk into the lobby of the rink when you've got families who have traveled, like I said, airplane, hotel, all the commitment they're making. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to have that experience. And it's just not right. It's not right. And how much development is happening in a game where a team is basically chasing the puck for the entire 45 minutes of a game? There is none. And there's no benefit. And I think that's one of the things that we've kind of started to track recently, is the goal differentials. And it's something that we can talk about maybe post the New Jersey event and see kind of how it looks after a weekend where we do have, like at the 2009 level, which is something I know we wanted to discuss, we have the XHP Selects, which is the number one team in the country. We have a team from California called the California Gold Rush that I believe is number three. We have Chicago Mission that's somewhere in the top five. And then we have the Long Island Royals that are, I think, eighth or ninth. And what we've done is we've taken those group of teams and they're playing against each other. We then have this next group of teams that are from 20 to 40, and they're going to play against each other. And I just think that it's really been it's been received very well from our clients, meaning the teams, the families, everybody involved. Nobody has to really question what we're doing anymore, because I'll just say to them, you know, this is what we do. Like, that's what our job is. Our job between Jeremy and myself and our staff is to make sure that when families come, they get a great experience, because there's competition in the business. Like, we're not the only one. But if you do it right and you keep these people happy, they're going to continue to come back. And that's been the key as well, that our two bookend events, Boston and New Jersey, just happen to be our two largest events. It's not a coincidence. It's because those are times of the year where teams are looking for exactly what we're providing for them.
And it speaks volume too, you know, to have former hockey players putting together these tournaments, saying that you have a lot of former hockey players, you know, high level hockey players, NHL players, that bring their teams to these tournaments because they know the competition, how much better the showcases are overall. What do you have, Steve? You have Marty St. Louis has a team. Who's some other big names that put teams into these showcases?
Oh, over the years, you know, dating back, you know, Mike Pekka from the Sabres, Chris Draper from obviously the Red Wings, Milan Hayduk from Colorado. just this morning. I spoke to Jason Pominville, who's recently retired. He's coaching the 2009 Junior Sabres. I mean, the list goes on and on of guys. You know, Jerome McGinley, I mentioned before, is coaching a team in Boston. I mean, there's been so many guys that, and like I said before, it's not all the guys that I've played with. It's right. guys that, you know, you played against and didn't know personally, but within 5 minutes of a phone call, you're reminiscing about a coach or a player. And like I said, that to me is, you know, when I retired, the money aside, you know, the biggest thing for a former player is really being part of a team. And the team that we had with Jeremy and Keith and Wayne and everybody over the years has been great. But I think that's the key is I just think the respect that, let's say, myself earns from those guys having been in a locker room
exactly.
really helps because what I'm selling is not, I'm not trying to sell something that I wasn't involved with or, you know, like my boys have been involved in it. And I see all these things where the shortcomings and the, with my youngest that's playing in Florida this year. And I see how hard it is for teams to get games at the midget level. So now I'm looking to build something at the midget level where it becomes regional. So a lot of the ideas and a lot of stuff that have come to Super Series has really been just from my own experiences. You know, we do this Green Puck tournament in the University of Notre Dame every December. Well, next year in 2020, we're now going to have four different college locations the same weekend calling it the College Cup. We've got Western Michigan. We've got Michigan, Michigan State, and Notre Dame where kids will get experiences to play at those four college rinks. And so, you know, those are just all the things that are evolving in our business. There's a lot of guys that I deal with. A guy by the name of Steve Palmer, who's a former teammate of mine at Clarkson. You guys remember Steve Palmer? He's coaching at Culver Academy. Chris Lipsitz, and a former teammate of mine, is coaching with Tri-State Spartans. Brian Mueller, who is a former teammate of mine, is running the Penn's Elite program in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, I feel like I'm at the Oscars, and I didn't write down who to thank. Because there's just so many guys. I mean, it's like, it's just incredible. Like, it really, really is. If I was to, I mean, Curtis Brown, former San Jose Shark, Chicago Blackhawk, Craig Johnson, oh, my God. I mean, Glenn Murray is in L.A. Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's amazing to see. And if you guys remember, one of my biggest things that I mentioned in our original podcast, you asked me why I thought hockey in the U.S. was getting better. And my answer was exactly that. Was the fact that former players are staying in cities and developing right. hockey players. And now they're coming to my showcases. Like, it's just...
It's easy to say, Steve, you know, to these top-level players, coaches, and teams choose your showcase just because they know the competition, the way you guys set it up and everything's top-notch. One of the best showcases around. But what about the how do you guys rank these teams? I know we touched a little bit on that in the beginning. How does that process go?
So it's actually funny, but there's a website called My Hockey Rankings that updates every Wednesday morning. So literally, for the most part, almost every parent gets up in the morning on Wednesday morning and checks out where their son's team is ranked in My Hockey Rankings. I literally call this guy the wizard behind the curtain. because what he's done is he's got an algorithm that truly dictates the best teams. It's amazing. And at the midget level, they think the USA Hockey thinks so highly of this ranking system that there's 12 regions or districts in the United States who qualify for USA Hockey Nationals at the Tier 1 level. Once those four districts are, once the teams win those districts, there's four at-large bids now for Nationals. USA Hockey, I'm not saying it's the only way that they tell what teams to invite, but a lot of it is based on My Hockey Rankings. So, yeah, so that's how we kind of determine it. So when I say, you know, like, XHP is one, Mission's three, California Gold Rush is four, and Long Island Gulls are nine. There's a legitimate website called My Hockey Rankings that does AAA, Tier 2, Ontario, Quebec, girls. The, you know, I'm sure you guys follow that CHN app, the College Hockey Network app.
Yes.
like how they rank the teams. So like after every game, a team's pairwise can go up and down. The pairwise is the same formula as my hockey.
Okay. All right.
So goal differential, ranking of the team you're playing. You know, it's a crazy world we live in. It is a crazy world we live in. And on top of that, to go a step further, teams don't want to play teams that are ranked lower by a certain percentage, because literally there's been times this year where my son's U16 team, before we step on the ice, we're losing points in the game because the team is just X points below us. And no matter how many goals we score, there's a max of like 7. Wow. So like there's a lot of, you know, we're not that so into it in terms of that we're like, we don't want to play them, but we've literally had a lot of issues over the last few years where, you know, teams have said, listen, you know, we're not going to come to this if we have to play this team because it hurts our rankings.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Steve, I wanted to ask you one thing about, you know, obviously these showcases are a chance, you know, for a massive amount of exposure for these players and coaches, you know, that want to get these teams in here. So give you kind of a two-part question, like, you know, talk about, you know, the level of exposure that these teams get. Obviously, you have set up, you know, the perfect model. You know, you're top shelf when it comes to these kind of showcases. So what kind of exposure do these guys get as a result of being in your showcases? And then from there, I think maybe if you could get into, you know, specifically, you know, your tournament that's coming up this weekend in New Jersey, but speak to the exposure that these teams get and these players and these coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very, very careful when it comes to the word exposure, because I think that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions out there as to, you know, when exactly the word exposure kicks in. And, you know, I would say that for our event, Bantam Major is pretty much our, up until this year, Bantam Major is probably our level that gets the most exposure, just because most of the Boston tournament or showcase, our border battles, we have some really strong teams. You know, our midget tournaments or showcases have not been, you know, to the highest level, just because there's so much competition at those birth years with other programs that have, you know, midget specific events. You've got the USHL showcase, you've got the North American League, you've got, you know, there's the HBHL at the midgets for the Midwest, you've got the Beast League, which does a great job on the East Coast. So we really haven't gotten into midgets. So but like I said before, this year coming up, as I've seen such a deficiency in certain things at the midget level, we are now looking to create a Midwest exposure series of showcases that'll start in August and go till the beginning of November, keeping teams within driving distance, great games, and a lot of exposure in front of USHL, North American League, and colleges, because truly that's what the parent wants. The parent who's spending the money wants to see what I call logos on the jackets. They want to see USHL teams. They want to see college teams. And, you know, and I don't blame them, but I think there's almost too much emphasis at young age levels, you know, on what exactly, like, realistically, my hockey, even though it's a great tool, USA Hockey only uses it as a tool when it comes to at-large bids, which starts at U14. For us as a business and everybody involved, it's a great tool to allow for competition, but on some levels, maybe some teams don't play as tough a schedule and some teams don't play as many games. And so it's really kind of, it's one of those things where we utilize it as a tool, but it's not the be all end all. But at the midget age level, a majority of the better teams are the ones that are getting scouted. You know, there's always great players on teams that are in the 30s and 40s, but the majority of the top players at the 14, 15, 16 age groups are usually lumped into, let's say, the top 10 to 15 teams in the country. So that's where the scouts will focus on. And that's kind of our hope with this Midwest Exposure Series, is we've got a good group of teams from a small area, and we'll inform the USHL teams and the colleges. You know, there's ways through RinkNet and through different areas that these people can find out what and where these teams are playing. So it's you know, there's hockey TV. I mean, there's Live Barn. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Live Barn, but there's a lot of ways that scouts can now watch youth hockey games without being there.
Steve, I just want to back it up to the previous question real quick. And, you know, something that the Super Series showcases have done, in my opinion, that they've done well is the actual exposure for the team, not so much the exposure for the scouts to see the players. But, you know, I'm here in Florida, South Florida, playing out of West Palm. And, you know, a lot of these teams don't have, you know, the chance to play against the top teams, and, you know, because they're in Florida, right? So there's only so many teams here that they can actually showcase their team against somebody of the same caliber. So I feel like, you know, the Super Series gives them a chance to get their team in front of the other high caliber teams in the country. And, you know, it's a great spot for teams maybe in California or Florida or some of these smaller hockey markets to play against some of the best teams in the country to get their rankings up, so they can compete at the national level. Do you think that's something that you guys have provided these smaller markets the opportunity to become better teams, you know, as actually get to play against better competition throughout the year?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that's one of the things that that's a selling point for us. Like in Boston, all the local Boston teams who get to sleep in their own beds, it's like, listen, we're bringing you junior Canadians from Toronto. We're bringing you Colorado Thunderbirds. We're bringing you teams from Michigan. We're bringing you teams, like, agreed 100%. You know, we have teams from Montreal that have been there. I agree with that. That's a big thing for us too, is it's not this regional model where you're playing the same things all the time.
Especially with the My Rankings, you know, like you talk about, if you're not playing against some of these teams that are high up on these rankings, it's hard to get your team up in the rankings high enough to be able to compete at the next level as far as the nationals and stuff like that.
Yes, agree with that. And that's the key to it too, is, you know, teams that are a little bit lower in the ranking, they want to play better teams because it helps their ranking, but the top end teams don't want to play those teams. So it's a vicious circle for us.
So yeah, that's one reason why your showcase is up there. But Steve, talk a little bit about Jersey coming up this weekend. I know you got a bunch of arenas. There's so many teams. You got to spread them out to a bunch of different arenas. How does that work? And talk a little bit about Jersey coming up this weekend.
Yeah, no, for sure. So this, I think, is our third year maybe having New Jersey, where it was a really big focal point for our business. And basically what's happened is President's Day has become a weekend that teams are looking to, you know, come to a good destination to play different teams. And a lot of them are preparing for, you know, state tournaments and all those things coming up. So, you know, and also for us, it gives us the ability to place teams. We've done with the growth of the event, we've had to take certain birth years of, let's say, 40, 50 teams and place them in regions of New Jersey. We've grown it to the point where it's got to be in Long Island as well, so we have age groups there. So that's kind of been the biggest thing for us as a business, is we've made it so age group specific are they're basically playing in two or three rinks. Their hotels are going to be close to where they're playing, and that just allows for, you know, a much better experience. It just does, rather than driving an hour to one game and 20 minutes to another and 35 to another. We've really done a better job at making, like you said, the experience of coming to our tournament just that much better, where families know, okay, well, we're playing in rink ABC, so here's a group of hotels that are within 15 to 20 minutes of those rinks. And, you know, and we do have a wide variety of teams. I mean, we have a really good group of, you know, teams spread out from all over the U.S. In this event. You know, the teams are primarily East Coast drivable, but we have Chicago Mission coming at 2008 and 2009. You know, we have California Gold Rush coming at 2009. They were there last year. You know, the 2009 group, it's nice to have the number one team in the country who's coached by Bryce Salvador, who's another one I forgot on the list, a former teammate of mine with the Blues, who's on the New Jersey Devils broadcast for television, who coaches the 2009 team. So, you know, every time I bring up another team, it seems like there's another pro that's involved. And
that's good. I mean, that's good for obviously the Super Series.
And some of these your tournaments that you go to, Steve, you're out in Vegas. I think that's this weekend. You play at City National Arena, which is, you know, the practice facility for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So some of these showcases are actually at, you know, pretty cool arenas, which is great for the kids, great for parents. It's just
huge. No doubt. I mean, that's one of the things also that we've done. So Vegas is our furthest west location. This is our third year, I believe. This year we had a little bit of ice. We weren't able to build as big an event. But next year they're building a beautiful facility in Henderson, Nevada, that apparently is going to potentially house the new, someone told me that Vegas purchased an American Hockey League franchise and they're going to be moving it to Henderson.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, yeah, so these buildings, it allows, you know, Vegas is awesome. You know, we do a spring event in Nashville that we literally have to turn teams away from. So I think that's the other turn in the business too, is I think the destination cities have become more popular as well. So as we grow, you know, we're trying to get as many, you know, destination cities as possible so that it doesn't only become about the hockey. You know, you can go and go on the strip and have fun in Vegas and then go and play a couple of hockey games in a day. And I think it alleviates the winning and the losing when you know, like Florida, we had our battle on the beach over MLK weekend and everybody was so happy, you know, win, lose, you get to go to the beach. It's just a totally different environment than if you're going to, you know, New Jersey, Rochester, you know, these are great locations, but they don't have the same draw as some of these, you know, destination cities that we have.
And I think another part of that is, you know, the USA Hockey has evolved so much that you have teams in these areas, like you just talked about, okay, New Jersey, Rochester, Boston, but now you're able to put tournaments together, you know, out west or, you know, down south, like Nashville, right? So who would think about hockey in Nashville? You know, so the USA Hockey seems to be developing enough hockey programs that are elite enough to play in these showcases, you know, which is great for your business, and it only seems to be getting better.
100%. You know, St. Louis is a city we're looking to put an event in next year. They just built a beautiful three pads inside and one outdoor rink at the rink called Centene Ice Arena, and that's where the Blues practice. I mean, we utilize a bunch of practice facilities as much as we can because they're just, you know, they're beautiful, beautiful rinks. And parents, you know, families enjoy playing in them. And we're all about trying to give the best experience possible when the families do come to our event.
Yeah, for sure. So this is, thanks for coming on, Steve, and talking, you know, for the first Super Series Elite podcast. We're going to be following the New Jersey invite, Chicago invite, and even touching a little bit on the Las Vegas invite. We're really excited. We're going to be doing all the major tournaments this year. So subscribe and listen to the Super Series Elite podcast. We're going to have coaches, you know, other, you know, big names, as Steve elaborated earlier, former NHL players who are coaching and just talking about the Super Series Elite showcases. So this is the first one, and there'll be many more to come. So thanks for coming on, Steve, and sharing a little insight on the showcases.
Thanks for having me, guys.